Going to continue talking with Lena Prophet about her work helping police finding things psychically. And of course, we'll take your questions with her next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with Lena Prophet as we talk about her work now as a psychic detective. Were you ever concerned, Lena, that by doing this, some kind of bad entity or something could attach itself to you?
Well, sometimes you definitely have to protect yourself when you go on to these crime scenes and stuff, because there is an energy there. There is a charge on those, on that, in that place, the floor, whatever it is. And it can, that's why you've got to really make sure that you've cleansed yourself before you go. I smudge myself. I have other things that I do. And then when I'm done, I never wear the same, my clothes. I take my shoes off before I go in my house.
How come?
Well, because you're tracking in that stuff. You're tracking that in.
Huh.
A lot of people don't detune, you know, defrag themselves from that. And that's why sometimes people get, you know, kind of very bizarre and strange. Sometimes we do that because we are such sensitives, you know. So you have to be careful. I've been in places, in scary places, very scary places where bad things happened.
Do the police try to protect you by hiding you so that, you know, let's assume the perpetrator finds out you're doing something to try to find him or her?
Uh-huh.
Do they try to protect your identity?
Well, no. You know what? I did that. First of all, I chose to keep a low profile. There was that newspaper article that Reno did on me back then. The chief wanted them to do it because I was doing things with him. I didn't want it.
Want the publicity, right?
Well, I don't. Yeah, but that's why I've worked in the levels that I do. I've belonged to their you know, associations and so forth, and speak to them, because I never wanted publicity with it. It was also just because that wasn't what it was about. It was about me working with them. We were a team. I added to existing information. I gave them new information, and that's how the crimes are solved or resolved, like the Mabs Martin case that I sent you the picture of.
Yeah.
Now, that one, in the book, there's a chapter about the task force room. And that woman was my friend.
Do other police departments summon you now, or
right
is it
now,
just restricted to the Reno area?
No, I've worked in many states.
Okay.
Yeah, different agencies. I'm not doing that work now since I started writing. I did briefly work on a cold case, Spirit brings it to me when it's time. You know, if I never seek it out, it comes to me.
Were you ever concerned in the beginning that you might be a suspect because you knew so much about the case?
We were just talking, and the retired detective and I, he said, was reminding me of a time we went into this place, and I ended up walking at the beginning when I first started with them, and walked to the left and down a hall, and I'm staring at a door, and they whispered, what are you seeing? What's going on? And I said, oh, there's lots of blood on this doorknob. And there had been blood on that doorknob. And I described what had happened in that room, and he said, he laughed, and he said, we had enough information out of your mouth that we could have arrested you.
Charged you with it.
Yeah, that used to happen with people. But, you know, now because I've worked on the documentation with them, and if everybody's referred and the agencies talk to each other, and that they know that I don't like to cheat. I don't like to really know a lot when I get in on something.
I get that, yeah.
You know, because it's no fun. Why do it, you know?
Let's go to the phones. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Deborah in Peoria, Illinois, to get us started. Hello, Deborah. Good morning.
Hello, George and Elena.
Hi, Deborah.
Thank you. I'm so glad the good Lord blessed us with people like you. I got some questions I would like to ask, and a couple things I'd like to say, if that's possible.
Sure.
Okay. I went a couple years ago. My grandson started having some bizarre behavior, and I went to a psychic. Anyway, to make a long story short, she was like one of the psychics you were speaking of earlier, kind of fraudulent. Anyway, I handed her, which is totally unusual for me, I handed her $200.
Oh,
and she told me to bring more to her, which I had no intentions of doing that. And when I got out of my car, I thought to myself, how stupid of you, Deb. That's your grocery money. But for some reason or another, something came in, and it was like, I know she did it not very, very scrupulously, but I felt she needed the grocery money more than me. And I let go of it, but I never went back to her. I thought about calling the police. I didn't do that either, because she had small children, and they were living a very frugal life.
Sure.
Anyway, that, and you spoke of marks on your hand. I had a near-death experience in 81, and in my journey, a 15-year journey it took me on, I had a cross formed literally in the center of my palm on my left hand. Do you know what that would mean?
Well, sometimes the cross, they can be danger. There could be a danger time or in that certain area, or it can be one of protection. A lot of times it depends on how they look, if they're an X, or if there's sometimes people will have a star also. And if they're on the heart line or in a specific area, there's a traditional reason. You know, you can look it up in palmistry books, but also when you're reading a palm, you're looking clairvoyantly at that particular person. So how old were you when you had that?
She hung up.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Oh, because I would suggest that you look at that, maybe go look at a good palmistry book and look at the position in the location where that X or cross was. But sometimes when you said that on one level, I felt protection for you.
Do you ever have a skeptic law enforcement agency?
Not anymore, but I do respect them being skeptical because of anybody, because they've dealt with a lot of problems with people in my field. I'm skeptical myself. I'm a Capricorn, and I'm very grounded. But that Sag rising and Leo moon, are, you know, they make me a loaded cannon at times. I pick up things, but you know. I put it this way, I don't even mess around with the skeptics at all, because I've been grilled by the best. I've stood up in front of 500-600 people at a with all the different agencies, one in Florida, a couple of other ones in other areas.
And were they doubters in the beginning?
Well, of course, some of them were. They're sitting there with their hands crossed, and I got up there, and these are people that were with, you know, federal and that type of thing also, and they were sitting there and with their arms crossed, looking up there, and I'm looking at this sea of people, and I was going to do a profiling seminar for 3 days with these people, and I thought, oh, dear Lord. So I'm up at the podium, and that was back when Shirley MacLaine's book had been out for a couple of years, and so when I got up there, I said, "Okay, I'm you know happy to be here." Blah blah blah, and when you heard a psychic was going to be here teaching a training, you know, at the training seminar, what was your first impression? Now I want you to be truthful with me. How many of you, I want you to raise your hand, how many of you thought that I'd come out here in a calf can with my slippers on, maybe a hair roller in my hair, maybe missing a tooth or something, and then maybe a black cat ran across this podium here, and how many of they started to laugh, and I could see they were loosening up with me, and then I said, if you think Shirley MacLaine was out on a limb with that book, what do you think about how I feel in front of all of you today? And I said, I will tell you one thing. You may never understand it by the time we're done, though. We're going to you're going to have a new perspective about people like me. And then I read this one guy I was guided to, and I read him cold, and he started to blush, and he ended up being my biggest supporter through the whole week.
Next up, yeah. Harold is in Forest, Mississippi. Go ahead, Harold. Harold, still with me? Go ahead.
Hey, thank you for your service in this great country.
You're welcome. George. Thank you.
And Elena, my question is, now, as far as you know, your psychic ability, I mean, was it always kind of towards, unsolved mysteries, or, like criminal cases, or, I mean, were you like, were you able to, predict other events? I don't know, maybe sport events, stock market prices, or I mean, did you have to fine tune it, into the criminal investigation, or was it always?
Yeah, that's a good question. It kind of just, I believe that was part of my destiny to go into those levels with it, because I ended up, now I counsel the families of the victims, and because they started to give them to me to help them in grief and loss. But I used to have dreams. Years ago, I had a dream. I call them prophetic visions because they usually come about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I did see, I saw the tower blowing up, that was one of them. I saw people marching in the streets in New York City a few years back, and they did that, the stock market exchange and all the people that were marching in the streets there. There's been a lot of, I did see when I was in Mexico City, Ronald Reagan was standing on the television. He was on the airplane. He was waving, and he had his hand up. And all of a sudden, I felt like a bullet that hit him by his arm there.
Yep.
And then
when
that
he was getting
happened.
In his car. Yep.
Yeah, yes. And I had the opportunity to be with the one Secret Service man that was always behind him in Sacramento at a restaurant. He used to date a girlfriend of mine, and so I went with her, and long story short, we were talking, and I just told him about that, and he looked at me and he said, "Well, why didn't you call us?" And he was getting really kind of getting in my face. He said, "I want to get out of here, with my president alive." And I said, "Listen, after what you guys do to people like me, you would turn around and think we're either nuts or that we did it or we were planning."
Right.
That's what they
one or the other.
Yeah. And he
would think.
Then he calmed down. Then he was very nice. And I had brought certain references with me from certain people. And he looked at that and he said, "I just want you to tell you this. If you ever feel anything again, you pick up the phone and call me, okay?" And I said, "And you won't arrest me." So, Harold, you got it,
Let's go out to Cleveland, Ohio. Niecy is with us. Hi, Niecy. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you, George Norvie. First, I want to thank you for all the comfort that you have given me through the years, through a lot of love.
Well, thank you. You're very welcome.
And I guess this must have been God. Yesterday was the 6th anniversary of the motorcycle accident that killed my son. And I wanted to ask Elena, was it an accident or was it purposeful? It was the oddest accident, and I didn't want to go there, but hopefully.
Was he alone, DC? What happened? Can you give us just a little highlight of the tragedy?
Well, he was on his way home from work on the highway, and a car full of drinking adults came across the line,
the medium.
The divider.
The medium, yeah.
Yes, and he was killed like that. And like when I saw the picture of the police report, it was the oddest accident. Everyone said it was.
Did they arrest these people?
The word that I got, because this was in Mississippi and I'm in Cleveland, and it just was such a shock, and it was all I could do to ask God to just get me through it, and I got there.
Yes, I just had a client have that happen with her son. When you said that, I felt that he went immediately out of his body, that he was out.
Yeah, his pain was minimal, I'm sure.
I felt that. Now, if you would like to, I'm happy to listen, talk with you privately. If you go to my website and you send me a mail, then I'll make contact with you. And when I'm feeling stronger, because I'm trying to fight off that cold flu thing, I'm happy to listen and work with you for a little bit, okay? My gift to you.
Okay, well, thank you for that. And then, Niecy, take advantage of that. Her website's, the main one, is at the heartdrops.net one?
I want her to go to heartdrops.net, and down at the bottom, there's a thing there, a bar that says, Heart Drop Us a Line, and that's, you're going to click on that, and that gives, the email pops up. And then you write your name, and you write that I was on George's show, and that about the motorcycle, and give me the way to contact you. And then we'll talk, and I'll go into level, and I'll be stronger, and I'll be able to do that, okay?
It just must give you some incredible feelings knowing that you've put some thug behind bars.
Oh, it is, especially in the Mabs Martin case with that one, because he murdered my friend. And I finally got to meet one of the victims. She and I are very close now. I met her 3 months ago, and I hugged her because I prayed to God all the time that I would have some, you know, you always wonder, because I never would always hear the end results with things, because detectives move on, I move on. This is a never-ending nightmare, you know. And I got to meet her, and I hope she's listening to the show, or she'll be listening to it, in the archives. But I hugged her. We were so excited finally to meet her, because I never contact victims. My heart would love to hold him, and I prayed, please let me have this before it's my turn to go. And I held her, and she cried on my shoulder, and I cried, and I said, honey, I am never going to let you go again, because we saved the girls, but Mabs and her friend were murdered, and it was horrible.
What advice would you give to people who might have your same abilities, they just haven't been able to really perfect it?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, first of all, nowadays, there's so many good books out there you can read. You can take classes. If you take classes from people, I advise you, or have private training, check their background. And you know, that most people have a lot of different, you know, classes, and they've studied, etc., and they can help you. Are you clairvoyant? Can you do psychometry, touch things, and like I do with clothing or weapons or whatever, and I can translate things about the person and what happened? That's psychometry. That's a good one to start with. You can also start with trying to do just ESP, like I'm thinking of a number, or I'm holding a card, and what do you, and then you send it. Sending and receiving, those are very good ways to start. But you also, there are many things that's happening with people, is that they don't know they're psychic or they're empathic, and they're frightened because it's very scary.
Especially if they're not aware of it. We're going to come back and take final phone calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, our final segment with Elena Prophet, as we talk about her newest work. It's May and the Lilacs Are Blooming. Where do you get the book, Elena?
They can get it on Amazon. I also have it on heartdrops.net, but it takes a little bit longer. So if they want to go to, just plug my name in, Elena Diva Prophet, and It's May and the Lilacs Are Blooming, and it comes right up for them.
The helpers that you've had over your career, your life, were they disembodied spirits, people who had died, or were they angels?
Both.
Ah. Which ones are the most helpful?
Depends on the situation. When I'm working on a case, it can be the spirit energy of that victim. The other times in my personal life, it seems like illness or, you know, going through my challenges or something, or being guided who's to come to me, etc. That's when I feel more of the angels, the archangels. They come to me. They send these people to me.
Do the dead cry out to you for help?
Yes, at times they do.
Yeah. Do they want closure with their loved ones or what?
Yes, a lot of times that's what happens when you do the medium work. And that type of energy, it's really hard to do it, you know, in this format when you have to deal with those people. You need to sit across from them. And because some of it, like suicide, there's a chapter in the book also about suicide, and where I found myself experiencing a soul that was trapped when I was in Hawaii, actually reading for a doctor. And that's very powerful. Also, those souls suffer. And sometimes there's been a few scary things I had in my life. But, you know, children, the young people, teenagers, a lot of 15-year-olds, George, can have poltergeist energy. I've done house cleansings for people.
Hmm.
And usually when there's disturbances, there may be teenagers involved in it.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Yari in Alexandria, Louisiana, east of the Rockies. Hi, Yari.
Yes, can you hear me okay?
We sure can.
Okay, good. I have a habeas corpus question, who has the body? If a person is possessed, should they be held responsible for the crime? And if they can be exorcised, should they then be set free?
Wow, that's a trip.
It sure is. It's almost like being in a car drunk and you're not the driver, you're the driverless car, right?
That is a good question. I've never had anybody say that before, and what I'm going to do with that, Ari, is I'm going to ask a few people. You know, we have to look at our court systems, too. You know, how many of these people are on something doing all this stuff?
What would happen is you'd get a plea of insanity, I think.
Well, yes.
That's what would happen.
But the possession part of it, too. I mean, is not possession almost like a drug?
But I don't think the courts will accept possession. I think they will think of it as somebody who's insane.
Yes. Well, that's what I was going to say. That's where the psychiatry comes in, criminally insane. And how many of those people are? Because I'll tell you, when I profile people through the years, and I get deep into them, there's some evil people, and I've had detectives tell me they sit across from people that, were they human or not? I mean, we're talking dark, dark, dark. It's frightening.
Let's go to Chris in Merced, California, now west of the Rockies. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Elena. Thank you so much for your awesome show tonight.
Sure.
I was wondering, you said earlier that when you cleanse yourself sometimes, how do you cleanse yourself? And would somebody who's had PTSD from, like, Vietnam or watching and holding their friend die in front of them from, like, a drive-by shooting, how would you help them or advise them that they could help heal?
That's a good question. And why don't you also go to my website there and go down to the bottom, and or if you're on Facebook, you can contact me on Facebook. I do work with Vietnam vets. I definitely
want to.
Yeah, absolutely. But go ahead, Elena. Give us some tips.
Yeah, and what happened with this is you can do meditation. Meditation's good. I would suggest bath therapies, and there's a bath therapy that I use even on myself, and it's a blue-green bath crystal, and I believe it's Nature's Way. It's a pungent-smelling one, and I can send that to you or send you a picture of it. Bath therapy works. I have an altered state meditation that I recorded, and I've had
Some of them use that also because it balances the chakras. It clears off that between bath therapy. And some of the people I've worked with that were raped, for example, similar situations of violence, and they were violated. And that does help. Those are the types of things. You can't get into it totally, all of it right now, but those are very good tools that you can use. Meditation is wonderful because they can stop that mind from tripping. You keep pulling it back to some degree because the hard wire has been so shocked in the brain. So I would try that because I've had success with some people that I've worked with that when they use the meditation and they learned how to work with the chakras, those energy points that we all have, and also their diet, very important, they can alleviate a lot of that. And it just breaks my heart that they go through all of this.
Elgin, Texas, we go. Charles, turn on Coast to Coast. Charles, go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. By the way, George, thank you so much for so much of what you've been doing, and also your service to the country, too.
Thank you.
That having been a Marine Embassy Guard. But in my question, originally my question had to do with people in the medical system who commit crimes, kill people. They kind of have a built-in system for cover-up. And I imagine that Elaine has encountered some of those things in her work with the police. But my dad introduced me to this show Coast to Coast back in the 80s. So I've been listening to it for a long time. I never called it until after he was killed. And the question I want to ask really though is. How did my dad die? You know, what did they do?
No, but he was in an ambulance when this happened, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was in an ambulance when it happened. But right now, you know, it's a statute of limitations. You've stuck with me, all this time. You've helped me. Your show and everything has helped me get through the past 2 years, but the statute of limitations is coming up on the 31st of this month.
Well, what we don't know is whether it was negligence. I'm not sure if it was intentional, but what does the psychic say?
Well, you set me up with it the way that police, you know, like an investigation, because I'm not familiar with what the complaint.
I think what he should do is write you an email because it's pretty detailed.
Yes, I need that because it's emotionally charged also, and so when I try to lock in or something, there's not enough information for me. So if you would like to write me more, you know, the steps of it a little bit, because then I'll pick something up.
Heartdrops.net is the website. Heartdrops.net.
Yes.
And Charles, send her a little more detail on what you think happened in that ambulance on that horrible day. And
because I need to know a little bit more about the prior, like this is what happened, blah, blah, blah. Just a few steps. That's what I even do with investigators. They'll say, Elaine, this is what happened. We found a car, blah, blah, blah. There was a person, a few things.
Sure.
And then I'm focusing on that. Then I start to open up with that.
Now, do you still get help from the helpers? Do they feed you information, Elena?
Mm-hmm. You mean from the other side?
The other side, yeah.
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah.
Do you must have that help? Or do you pick it up all by yourself?
Well, you know, I never totally can get that. I become one with all of that, George. It's kind of like if I'm taken to a certain place or I'm looking at a photo or, you know, focusing in on a certain suspect or whatever, I don't know totally where that comes from. Sometimes I do feel it's coming from the victim. And even police officers will tell you that. Detectives will say, you know, I just couldn't let it go because, I just kept feeling that person,
was pushing me, you can do this, help, you can help my family,
right.
You can stop this. And that's the wonderful part of it.
Let's go to Emma in Corona, California, first-time caller for her. Hi, Emma.
Hi, thank you both for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
I am having a question here because I get a lot of mail from psychics from Europe.
Oh,
and
yeah.
From, you know, local cities.
Mm-hmm.
And I just received one that this lady said that she saw that I would be getting a large amount of money in February and in March. I'm Sagittarius. I just had a birthday.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm wondering if this is true.
Can I share with you? I don't want to burst your bubble, but listen, I get those mails, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now, you may have some luck coming to you, or you may have Jupiter touching your chart in a certain way. Sometimes when I'm doing readings professionally with people, I can look at that and see. But what you're talking about, that's a scam with those people,
yeah,
okay?
I kind of thought
because
that, too.
I don't know anybody that has not received one of those. I look in my spam on my computer, and it's loaded with them. And it's real interesting. That could be a whole show in itself, how they end up, they just keep sucking you dry with that. They plant a little seed there, and then it makes you curious, and then you think, and then they keep giving you, well, oh, I just wanted to tell you, I couldn't let that go, and I had to think about you. I was thinking about you, and I was compelled to write you a mail to tell you that you have this energy that's coming to you, you know, that type of thing, right? That's what you had going on with you,
yeah.
And be careful with that, and once again, if you want to, you write me. You can go on to myheartdrops.net, and you can, if you, but I feel that you know better than that because you're a Sagittarius.
How much of this, Elena, is just common sense?
There you go. Amen.
Yeah.
But when we're desperate and when we all would like a jackpot, right? You know, I mean, I've learned that there's no free lunch. I do a lot of free work for people, you know, because that's part of what sometimes spirit, you know, says. This is my profession, but, you know, I try to give to people, you know, also. But I don't go around telling people, like, and I don't know any of my friends, associates that do that either. And I don't know, they need to do something about that a little bit, because what happens is, George, they end up with the vulnerable and the weak and the elderly, and they will take their last dollar or the money from their Social Security just hoping.
Isn't that horrible?
It is, and then what they do is, then if they end up communicating with that person again, they say, well, that didn't happen, and they go, oh, well, the planets did this, they changed at the end, but if you, you know, give me $50, you know.
50, more like 500 sometimes.
Oh, well, yeah, but, you know, they're smart. It keeps building up, you know.
I bounced a psychic off the air for stuff like that. A long time ago. She's dead now. No need even to mention who, but people probably know. But, you know.
Is it who I think it is?
Yes, it is, probably.
Yes.
Charging way too much for reading. Look, you folks need to make a living, but not to gouge people.
I had one that went to see a certain person, and a longtime client and spiritual family, and came in for a reading and said, I have something to tell you. I have to confess something to you. Well, people tell me everything, you know. And I'm going, okay, well, tell me what's new. And he said, I went and saw so-and-so, and I paid her $500, and Elena, she didn't tell me anything, half of what you have, and I got in the car, and I sat there, and I felt sick to my stomach.
I know the feeling. Elena, thank you so much. Keep in touch with us. Do let us know if that serial killer was arrested. I would like to tell everybody what had happened. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.